RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning means Tim Wilms reports in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne with Aussie. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Paul. Great to be back from very cold and wet Melbourne. It's been, it has been recorded as the coldest winter we've had in about 5 years.
Boy, I can count that on one hand.
Yes, so very cold and miserable. I'm already counting down the days until the end of winter.
Okay, so when, just so our listeners can get a fix on what cold is, in centigrade, what are you talking about?
So almost 0 degrees in the early mornings, and it only just gets over 10 degrees in the mid-afternoon.
We get that too, you know, sometimes.
Yes, but we're the sunburnt country. We're used to the warmth.
Does this mean that all the climate catastrophists are going to go nuts?
Well, they were predicting the La Nina. I get confused. There's the El Nino and the
El Nino.
Yeah, the hot and dry. We were going to have. We were told to prepare for a scorching dry summer. Prepare for another black summer, but we actually had flash flooding. Our Bureau of Meteorology, the bomb, got it completely wrong. And they only reported flooding when it was actually happening, which was a bit late for the people who were already underwater.
Yeah. All right. We had the Chinese premier here visiting. In fact, he drove past my window with a big motorcade and a Chinese flag on the limo, so I knew it was him heading to Government House to meet our Prime Minister. He's hopped across the Tasman. He's visiting you guys now, or he just has.
Yes, Li Qiang. He was in Canberra, so he was in South Australia yesterday. So the Wolf Warrior diplomacy, that is out, basically, since it's only disadvantaged the people of China. And so it is cuddly panda diplomacy now. So, yes, Li Qiang, he promised the Adelaide Zoo two new pandas because they're the current pair, Wang Wang and Fu Ni, are going to be sent back to China. The reason so is because
deported.
They haven't been able to procreate.
Get it on.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they're hoping once they get them back to their homeland maybe they can find new spouses for them.
Australia does that to mammals.
but there was an incident at the Canberra press conference yesterday. Chinese officials tried to block the filming of Sky News a reporter, Cheng Lei, who was imprisoned by the Chinese Communist Party for 3 years when she was working as a journalist in China. So very petty but predictable CCP behaviour. And we've also got still another Australian, Wang Hanjian, been given a suspended death sentence. He's a writer on espionage charges. So if he doesn't do anything for 2 years, then he won't get executed. So,
well, that's nice of them.
Yes, and there's also been several incidents, international waters, airspace, where the People's Liberation Army, it's hard to keep up. They've pointed lasers, sonar, flares near Australian aircraft, so which could have led to injury to
our. Where were the aircraft, Tim? Were they in China airspace or near?
No, they were conducting freedom of navigation in international waters, or some cases that I think one of them was actually in Japanese waters. So
right.
Australia hasn't been in the wrong in any of those, but it seems that it's just meant to antagonize, intimidate.
But isn't going into those areas doing the same?
Except that the ADF during these exercises, they're not doing anything that's against the international freedom. Or,
no, no, I get that, but it could be seen as provocative. Just being the devil's advocate here.
They're not aiming to harm others in that airspace, naval area there. It's
I hear. And during his visit, did he go anywhere? Was he taking on any tours to show, you know, the real Australia?
Well, he went to a South Australian winery with the Foreign Minister Penny Wong and the Trade Minister Don Farrell, both South Australians, because that's one of the trades that has restarted with the People's Republic of China, wine exports. Though there's a bit of a conflict of interest here with the Trade Minister Don Farrell, who runs his own winery. So he has got it's clearly in his interest to have wine exports with China for, well, in part his own business benefit.
All right, well, that's nice. Hope the panda thing resolves. All right, eSafety Commissioner report calling influencers. What is this about?
Oh, yes. So it's entitled Calling All Himfluencers, Young Men.
Oh, Himfluencers.
Diverse role models. Because apparently the eSafety Commissioner is also Australia's online safety educator. So,
self-appointed.
Yeah, I'd have to maybe look at the Online Safety Act to see whether this is with Julian Mangrant's jurisdiction. She has had her budget quadrupled by the Albanese government. So this research reports that navigating adolescence and early adulthood is a confronting rite of passage, but this is one of the first generations to grow up in a world settling the online and offline dimensions. So young men are coming at age at a backdrop of complicated and contested public discussions.
Does she have any children?
She does.
Yep.
I'll keep quoting her, what modern day masculinity means, potentially making the process of figuring out who they are and what they stand for confusing and fraught. So they want to understand and support young men in online spaces so they can have a meaningful impact. It goes
blah,
on.
Blah, blah, waffle, waffle. Yeah. She's not even Australian. What does she know about the Australian culture?
Well, I guess she spent enough time here that she can claim to. She's been in this job for about 5 years, appointed under the coalition government. They extended her term for another 5 years. And she's done another media round about this report, saying that she's concerned about young men becoming incels. And then, of course, the Andrew Tate.
That's because they can't get on with women anymore. It's a female problem.
Well, I think I've said before on your show that I believe that this is the point of promoting this, well, domestic violence, toxic masculinity epidemic. It's designed to drive a wedge between the genders.
Yeah.
So that it's because if it's a self-perpetuating gender divide, that's good for the feminists, activists who it's another gravy train for them, and they can try and get more on what's their political wish list. And we've also seen the Albanese government give the eSafety Commissioner $6.5 million for an age verification trial.
Right.
There has been this campaign by News Corporation and Nova FM, a radio station, to raise the age that young people are allowed to use social media to 16. And Peter Dutton, the opposition leader, he has now promised within the first 100 days of him being elected, which he could be because the polls are turning in his favour, to ban social media for under 16s. And he's proposed a facial recognition for age verification.
Here we go.
Invasive form of age verification. So, again, we don't know how this will work. Will the government store your face on whichever social media you log on? Is that how it's going to work?
Would have to be, wouldn't it?
I mean, Apple ID, the facial recognition, that's done by Apple. That's not in a central government database. Of course, we have the digital ID bill that has been passed and signed into law now. And that's, of course, both sides of politics, they're not going to just have it sit there as an extra optional option there.
Do you ever feel like your country's going to the dogs rapidly? Sounds like it.
We have always been a nanny big government state. It culminated with the COVID lockdowns. I mean, New Zealand, of course, has had its fair share of
laws
as well.
But we don't have any safety commissioner demonizing men and young men and saying that they're the problem all the time and stuff like that. That's not happening.
And in Parliament, Peter Dutton gave her a defence on the floor of Parliament on indulgence. So even though she is an activist, she is a intersectional social justice warrior feminist. Sides of politics are giving her whatever she wants. Whenever I see her on the television or the radio, I always think of Helen Lovejoy. Somebody please think of the children. And this is how they try to convince the ordinary person about.
And all the sheep watching them at MSM and go, yeah.
And they claim that this is what parents want because it's easier for them to have their children off social media if it's banned rather than, a group of parents get together and say, right, we're not going to give you access to social media or smartphone until you're this age. So
You try doing that. It's just not going to work. I can tell you that. All right. The gender-bending news never stops, though. There's another story.
No. So it's the AIDS Council of New South Wales, ACON, which that trans man activist who got the eSafety Commissioner to take down Billboard Chris's post about her, Teddy Cook, works for ACON, remember, into bondage, bestiality, and BDSM. So ACON
the three Bs.
Has released an ad promoting cervical cancer screenings. Or the advert says people with cervixes or people with front holes.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
I know it does.
How could you even think you could say that?
Is there going to be a prostate cancer awareness ad saying that it's cancer in back holes?
These people are insane. I don't want to spend any more time on that. Tasmanian Health Minister asking for a national youth gender services review. This sounds a little different.
Yes, so recently re-elected, the health minister down there, Guy Barnett, he's written to the federal government asking for it to consider staging a national review into public medical services for children experiencing gender dysphoria, citing the UK CAS review into gender clinics in the National Health Services. The Western Australian Liberal Opposition, they've also going to the state election next year, promising to limit gender transition services to those over 16. So
Still too young. In fact, it should never be done, but okay.
So there are some leaders on the centre-right who are pushing back. All throughout Australia, every state has a youth gender clinic. All of the states on the eastern coast of Australia banning conversion therapy, including for gender identity. So Australia is quite the international outlier and actually continuing down this gender bending path, particularly with youth. But some good news from well, the capital of Tasmania, Hobart, Louise Elliott, Hobart City Councillor, who I believe that you've spoken.
Yeah, a number of times. You know Louise, yep.
So they have finally apologised to her and paid compensation to her since they refused her the ability to book a council venue for a women's rights event. So we are glad that, well, they're finally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better late than never that rather than just be constantly belligerent, there is an apology. Though the La Trobe City Council in Eastern Victoria, they've suspended councillor Melissa Ferguson. We've got local government elections here in Victoria later this year done by mail-in ballot.
Dodgy.
Yeah, so she's been suspended for failing to apologise for sharing anti-trans tweets. And one of the offending ones, workplace training or other programs, it's big business. So many feed on the radical push for confused kids into a transgender bender funded gravy train while the rest of youth go without funding in the communities.
Naughty for saying that. Okay.
I don't get how you can suspend a democratically elected councillor.
Yeah, that's why I say your country's in trouble. All right. South Australian Premier wants to ban political donations. Really? Yeah,
Peter Malinauskas, he was the one that first put on the national agenda the age limit for social media. So he's having another crack at being a national agenda setter. It's almost like he has federal political aspirations.
How can you stop people wanting to support, you know, a political candidate? That's all
exactly. And there doesn't seem like there's much detail on it, because would this affect, say, think tanks or other community groups or even alternative media as well? There's nothing about because I know in New Zealand you have the Free Speech Union and the Taxpayers Union. They don't necessarily advocate for a vote, but certainly are very opinionated when it comes to the issues and criticising various government actions, and rely on the support of listeners and viewers. And so this is where I think this is where it's even more alarming. Well,
it also means a new personality on the scene who's popular cannot fight an equal fight, because they won't have the...
Oh, they'll be able to raise, according to the draft proposal, $2,700.
Yeah, well, that's... Okay, what's it going to get you? Meanwhile, the bigger parties will be funded massively, so there's just no way you're going to
find
them.
By the taxpayer, of course.
I mean, it's so obvious.
The reason that the major parties are in favour of it is because of that reason, and also because they say, oh, it takes so much of our time fundraising when we'd prefer to spend it serving the community.
Yeah, sitting around not doing much. Okay. That's an interesting one. Pauline Hanson. She's usually very entertaining with her. What's the series that she does?
Yeah, the satirical cartoons, Pauline Hanson's Please Explain. She's been doing that for a number of years now. She obviously voices herself, but Anthony Albanese and Peter Dutton, they're voiced by voice actors, by the studio that makes them. But the latest video, it solely satirised the new spokespeople for Queensland Tourism, which is Bluey, the cartoon dog, and Robin Irwin, the son of the late Steve Irwin. So they go around promoting Queensland, but find that their car is stolen by youth gangs, and when Bluey gets beaten up, there's a waiting queue at the hospital because...
Overloaded, yep.
Yes, and also when they're on a beach, they're told to get off the beach because it's an Aboriginal-only traditional beach. So it's satirizing the Miles Labor government. He briefly is in it, chuckles Stephen Miles, just laughing. So it's very entertaining always. It's excellent satire. But it hasn't impressed Robert Irwin. His legal team have sent a cease and desist to Pauline Hanson's One Nation, claiming that the satire is defamatory, even though it's not him voicing it.
Yeah.
How can something be defamatory if it's just taking the piss?
What a snowflake.
I know.
His father wouldn't be impressed, would he?
Well, he was famously satirized on South Park both when he was alive and deceased. Robert Irwin, he tames man-eating saltwater crocodiles, also handles venomous snakes, but don't make fun of him. He's built his own brand.
The money's rolling in, right?
Yes, he's the new co-host of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and he's also done some fashion modeling as well.
What, crocodile or alligator boots or something?
No. You'd say modern male clothing.
Okay, I used to think when I watched Steve Irwin from time to time, you know, as if I was the animal. And I would keep thinking, just leave me alone. Leave them all alone. You're always intruding and interfering with us. Go away.
You agree with Jermaine Greer then?
Is that what she said?
Well, she said that the animal kingdom got its revenge on Steve Irwin.
Oh, right. Yeah, with the stingray thing, yeah. I mean, no one wanted that, but okay, so he hasn't got a hope in hell of winning that, has he, or getting anywhere with that?
Oh, well, they're going to ignore it, Pauline Hanson's One Nation. So we'll see if there's any further action. He's been severely ridiculed online. Again, it's the Streisand effect. So it's got millions of views on Twitter X, and on his own recent Twitter X post when he's handling a venomous snake, there's all of these comments down below mocking him.
How old is he? Just curious.
He's in his early 20s now.
Okay. All right. And let's finish up on this one. Former Commonwealth Medical Deputy Chief Medical Officer. Has he got some sort of TV show or he's appearing on TV now? What's going on?
Yes, Dr. Nick Coatsworth. He's now Channel 9's medical expert. He actually, during the summer, was one of the co-presenters of the Today Show. So really stepped up. He has a bromance with the Today Show permanent host, Carl Stefanovic.
Yeah, I know that personality, yep.
Yeah, so he was on radio promoting his new TV show, Do You Want to Live Forever? And on Channel 9 radio with Ben Fordham, and Ben Fordham asked him, have you had any recent boosters? And he said, no, I've just had 3 shots because that's what the science tells me. He hasn't had the...
No, it doesn't. The science doesn't tell him that. That's a lie. But anyway, carry on.
Earlier this year, he apologized for pushing for vaccine mandates when he was in the job. So he left the job in the Commonwealth government at the start of...
Saving his reputation. Yeah.
So he appeared in the Australian government's pro-vaccine ad saying, we're not safe until we're all safe.
And boy, that's not going to age well. He's doomed.
So he apologized for his role on his most recent appearance on the Today Show back in February. But he doesn't believe that the vaccines themselves were a mistake.
I bet you he's crapping himself.
Well, it was interesting that Caleb Bond, who's a Sky News host, wrote a news.com.au article saying that Australians deserve an apology for the vaccine mandates being forced on them because, well...
Mandates don't kill you.
It's the vaccines that we should say have the adverse effects. His employer, News Corp, should also apologise for making its employees take the COVID vaccines. Fred Paul, who's now with Alan Jones's Australian Digital Holdings. He was fired from News Corp Sky News for not taking the vaccine.
He's probably got quite good health. Okay. Well, that's quite a bit to think about. Thank you, Tim, again. I really worry about, I mean, I know we've got to be on guard here, but I really worry about Australia. Every time we talk, it seems to slip more closer to the abyss of, I don't know, totalitarianism.
The uni party agreeing on all of these totalitarian measures. So, well, there's also the new laws coming in. We can't necessarily advocate for a particular vote, but there are plenty of other political parties that can be voted for in our federal and state elections. So,
good point. Good point. It's up to the people.
Exactly. The power is yours if you want to take it.
Yeah, it's hard to get the message across. Nice one, Tim. Thanks again. And we'll talk again in a week.
We will do. Hopefully this weather improves.
Yeah. You have to put your warmies on, eh?
I think so, yes. But obviously having the heater on, well, that, of course, adds to the cost of living for all of us.
Yeah. You should have a nice little rug or shawl or something that you can put over your knees when you're sitting down. Do what the pensioners do, you know.
Oh, well, I'll have to come up with something.
Yeah, okay. Good luck. Okay, like I say, see you in a week's time.
Thank you, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.